Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim. Turn the lights up.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun.
Welcome on to the show. I'm your host, Anna Black, and tonight I'm excited because I get to showcase and interview a good friend of mine and colleague, I can say, because she has been like, I guess that sister, that advisement, that person you can count on, go to. So I'm excited about it. She's doing some wonderful, wonderful things. And I'm so excited to have this hour with Miss Nicola Mitchell. She's doing more than just writing books, you guys. She's publishing. She's marketing. She has her hand in a lot of things in the literary industry. So I'm very, very excited to chat with her tonight. Before we get started and bring Miss Nicola on, I do want to always, as usual, give shouts out to Miss Tamika Newhouse. She's the founder of AANBC. As they say, without her, there will be no us. We wouldn't be here. So I thank her for her mission and her vision to create such a wonderful show to showcase African-American authors, newcomers, and veterans, as we should say, not just newcomers. We support all African-American authors that's doing something positive. We don't supporting you hate, you know, we don't have anybody on here doing anything evil. But if you're doing something, whether your genre is romance, street lit, erotica, sci-fi, Christian fiction, it goes on, we are here to support and promote. So I do want to give shouts out to Miss Tamika Newhouse, and I want to wish her family my condolences because she just recently lost her big mama. So we already know how that goes. It's a trying time for Tamika and her family right now. So our prayers go out to them, and we're going to just ask the Lord to cover them, protect them, and to help them to be strong, because death is not easy for anybody, no matter what relative it is. Because the thing that really, really just trips me out is that people don't realize that it doesn't have to be a certain family member, like a mom or a father, to make to hurt you. Some people are close to cousins. Some people are close to second cousins. So any death of a loved one, somebody you're close to, is tragic. So our condolences go out to Miss Tamika Newhouse tonight. On a happier note, we want to let you guys know to definitely check out Delphi Publications website. Myself, Tamika Newhouse, Shawanda Pugh, Sandra, don't want to... and Ms. Jamaica, we all have some interesting information on the Delphine site, so go there and check us out. And our books are also available on that site, so just go and get a little bit more insight what Delphine is about and what we're doing in our books, and just check us out. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest, Ms. Nicola Mitchell. Welcome onto the show. If you can hear me, say hello.
Hi, my love. How are you?
I am awesome, girl. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, this night is exclusively for Nicola. I didn't put anybody else on because Nicola has a lot of things under her belt, and we're going to need the whole segment basically to cover. And I'm telling you guys, this is not going to be so much of an interview. It's going to be more of a conversation or a chat. Because I know Nicola personally, so since I know her personally, we can sit and rap about all the things she's doing. We want to talk about her novels as an author, her company as a publisher, and also the people that she has under her, because she's bringing out new authors as well. So we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, and she has a lot of new projects that's coming up. So we want to cover all those things tonight. So she has a lot to say and a lot to share. So just real quick, Nicola, before we get into the professional side of you, just give our listeners, those who's not familiar with who you are, a little personal insight about Nicola.
Well, I'm originally from Kingston, Jamaica, and I came to the United States when I was about 9 years old. And I currently live in Las Vegas with my two daughters, Destiny and Diamond. My oldest is about to graduate this year. My youngest is 13. And that's it. I'm a Delta Sigma Theta, and I'm an author. That's it.
Yeah. Now, okay, before we got to the author, before we got to Nicola the author, before we got to Nicola the putting up pen to a paper, what inspired you to sit down and say, okay, I want to write a book? This way before the publishing, way before the bigger dreams, what made you decide to say, I want to write a novel?
I started off writing when I first came to the United States, because moving to Las Vegas, there was really no Caribbean people here. And a lot of the kids, we lived in a bad area, and everybody kind of made fun of me. They thought my mother was Mexican. They didn't know why we talk like that. So I started off writing, like, to just become one with myself. You know, I really was a loner at the time. And I seen that it was good, and my teachers felt that I was good, so they started putting my poems and stuff in little magazines and competitions and things. And so by the time I got to high school, I was known as the poet girl, and people used to pay me $10 to write some poems. Like if they were in a bad relationship. She messed up. He messed up. You know, that was a good hustle, you know, back in that time. And then I started doing that more, you know. And by the time I was in undergrad and at my graduation party, it was a dare. I went through a bad breakup, and I lost a daughter. I went through so much different things. And at my graduation party, my family and friends were just daring me, like, you need to write a book, you know. Let's see. You take those notes and everything, there's those journal entries that you were keeping, and make that a book. So I never knew I would get to this point from that original dare. They do, you know, whenever somebody tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it. And that was just my focus, just to write a book. So I thank God that I was there to do that, because that's the only thing I do now. So
when you sat down and decided, like, okay, this is it, this is my calling, this is what I want to do, when you sat out there and birthed your first novel, because, you know, I know it's a process. You know, we're both writers, so we know it's a process. When you finally wrote the end on that first novel, what was your thoughts? Were you thinking then, like, I'm going to hold on to this and write something else? Or was your motivation just to publish? And when you decided to publish, what route did you want to take? Because some people dabble in a couple of things. Did you do? I know you as a person, so I already know the journey. But for those who are listening, how did you decide to become self-published versus being published with a major company? What was your agenda? Like, what steps did you take to actually say, I'm going to put this book in print?
When I actually finished the book, I didn't know what to do. So I started researching publishing companies, African-American authors, different literary agents, the typical thing anybody that's a writer wants to do, you know, will do. And then I put together my little query letter. Thought it was so professional. I had my girlfriend who teaches English in high school read it over. She told me it was so good, blah, blah, blah. Sent it out, was getting rejection letters, was getting or no responses. And I'm like, what? You don't love my story? You know?
Right.
Didn't become one with that. And then I finally got an offer. But when I got that offer, I was chatting back and forth with Tamika Newhouse and online, and she was telling me, like, if before you give your book away, I would suggest it to self-publish it, at least try. And then if you fail, you know, the next book you can do that, or even, like, try to shop that same book out, but I would suggest to self-publish. So I said, okay, well, how do I self-publish? And she started telling me the things I need to do, and I just went and ran with that and became with my own little dream team out here in Vegas, and my photographer did the book cover and did my headshots, created my website, and I was like, okay, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it all the way. So I didn't have any money. So that's my disclaimer to all you new authors that think that when, you know, for the people that are in the game at this point, like, we must have a lump sum of money. I had no money. And I just said, okay, the same way I go shopping for some shoes, put that money to the side and put it towards this. So I built up little by little, and I went on a full tour without books. I had like a really big poster, frame poster of my first book cover, and my stand and flyers, bookmarks, and the first chapter of Over and Over Again on colored paper. And I pre-sold that book. On a six-month tour. I did every big festival that was there, from the National Book Club Conference, you know, Leimert Park, LA, BBX. I did everything. And I sold 800 books before I even had books. And then after I did that, I, you know, by that time, people thought I've been out, you know. And you know, got the respect and whatever else. By the time the book came out, it actually did really well, and it became, you know, I sold like 7,000 copies in like 8 months, and that was just off myself. So I was excited about that. So By the time I had my second book, some of the girls that I was on tour with actually asked me, will I publish their book? So I was like, what? Publish it. You know? You want me to publish your book?
Yes. Exactly. That leads me to my next question, because it's like you're doing everything on your own, self-promoting yourself. What made you just sit down and say, well, I have the know-how or the advantage right now. I have I'm broke some ground here. What made you decide, or I want to take on other authors? Because it's a huge responsibility. It's not something that you can take lightly. So what made you say, okay, I can do this. I want to bring some other authors into this literary industry and put them under my publication company. What made you transition from just being self-published to a publisher?
Again, I was kind of like bullied into it because I started.
You just say bullied.
Yeah, I was bullied into it. Rekaya Gibson, that's what bullied me, you know. She's my biggest fan besides Tamika. Rekaya and Tamika have gotten me to the point that I am. And I started doing little workshops at the University of Phoenix teaching how to self-publish successfully, because a lot of people think that self-publishing is going through author house.
It's a POD. POD.
Yeah. And they don't really understand the difference. So I did start doing this seminar on how to do it. So people were watching this, and now they wanted me to help them with consulting. So that's how I became a consultant. I started helping authors put in their books out. I think at this point I've helped almost 60 authors put their books out. So Rekaya came to me and told me she wanted me to publish her next book. And I'm like, me? Girl, I was so scared. I'm like, no. And especially, this is my colleague. We've been on tour together. You know, I can't mess her up, you know. So I appreciated it, but I took on the book, and then Imani True just came out of nowhere, and she was stuck on my side everywhere I went, and they bullied me, and that's how I became a publisher.
And you know what, and I want to clarify that, you guys, it's not that they bullied you. People attract themselves to success, and they saw you as a success, or they saw you as a person that will help them be more successful. So it wasn't an ambush or bully. They just knew that okay. If I hang with the right people, which is Nicola Mitchell, and my vision is the same, I'm just like Rekaya, or I'm just like Mine True. When I connected with Tamika, we instantly had that connection. And once I talked to her a little bit more, met her in person, and started to see a personality and see the go-get'em in her, that was the person I want to link myself with. And
right.
It's like, with Tamika, I didn't bully her to make her publish me. It's just that this is the person I want to put myself out there for, because I see the work she was doing. So these authors felt safe to say, Nicola
right.
Mitchell is doing her thing. Nicola Mitchell is on point. Nicola is who I want to attach myself to. So that's a great thing. So
yes.
It wasn't a bully, you guys. Those who are listening, it wasn't a bully. You just attract yourself to the right people. And Nicola Mitchell, to me, is definitely the right person to, attach yourself to when you're trying to break out in this literary industry. Well, my next question for you really quick, Nicola, is to get into your books, because you're not on your first, second, third. You got some books under your belt. And after we talk about your publications and give us, I want some insight a little bit on, because a lot of people might be listening and is not familiar with Nicola at all. So I want you to start from Over and Over Again and bring us up to date to what you have now, because she is a seasoned author. She has got some bestsellers out there. It's not just her first time out the gate. So give us the beginning, where it started with your first novel up into your current projects, and then we'll talk a little bit more in depth on what's going on between the pages of your most current project.
Okay. Over and Over Again is my first novel. It came out in 2009, and it's about Deani, my main character in that series, and this love triangle that she got into with two men, Dell and Zay. And it's basically urban romance, and it just shows women, like, if you don't get over that first relationship and jump into something else really quick and carry that baggage over to the next relationship, you're going to go through the same thing over and over again, that's the name. So it was a relatable book. It was something I was going through at the time. And a lot of that book was me taking my personal experiences, my feelings and everything, and I just captured into a book. And then the second book, The Appetizer, When You're Not His Main Course, I took one of the smaller role characters from the first book and took them to L.A. and brought them to life. And that's a book about three women that are friends. They're from totally different backgrounds and different financial statuses, and how they all are the mistresses in their relationships, because sometimes the mistress gets a bad rap. And if you're watching these talk shows and everything, you see that, you know, the mistress may have children and households and everything. And, like, how did that happen? You know, so I actually had a friend that was going through something at the time that inspired me to write that book. And it just showed, like, they were engaged, pregnant with twins, things like that. And these men had double lives, basically. The third book is I was in a book called Between the Sheets, which included you. We won Anthology of the Year for 2011 at the African American Literary Awards show, and I took my story inside there. The Forbidden Rain was connected with the Deani series, and thus led up to Twisted. That was the book that was my crossover book that made me become the bestseller that I am right now. Was the actual direct sequel to Over and Over Again. So that concluded the Deani series. And now my latest book that just was released yesterday, I had a book release party here in Vegas at Barnes & Noble. Thank you to them for the excellent party they put on for me, for A Cold Piece. And it's totally different. It's a mainstream book. It's about a Caucasian woman that was married to a man, and he hired an investigator, found out about her past life, left her, and 2 years later, everything around him becomes dead, missing, and hurt. So it's kind of like a single white female slash obsessed slash hand that rocks the cradle. It's a suspense thriller, totally different from anything I've ever read in my life, but I think it's one of my better books.
So I'm definitely going to pause you on that, because, you know, if we talk about genres all the time on the show, about like how a person chooses to write the genre that they do. Normally people write the genre what they do because they like reading those type of books. But when you step out and you switch up and you try something new, what made you sit down and say, you know what, I know I write urban fiction with a hint of romance and a hint of drama, but I want to try something a little bit different, because when you get into mystery and suspense, you have to really, really, really do some legwork. You have to do some work when you get into a story like that. So what made Nicola say, hey, I want to try something new, I can do this? What made you transition to try Cold Piece?
Well, you know, the best fiction that's out there is from real life. So during that time that I was writing that book, I was going through some things emotionally, and I just took my feelings and my fears at the time and created this story. So it became a suspense thriller, not by choice, not like I sat down and said, oh, I'm going to write this. You know, I'm going to try this new genre. I was just actually, like, again, just jotting down journal entries, notes on my feelings and my concerns. And I was like, okay, you know, the business part of me was like, well, shoot, make that a book. Don't sit on that, you know. So I created, I turned the negative energy into a positive energy. So that's where it came from.
And in your experience as an author, as a writer, because I'm going by just your statement that you said that you were going through some things. So, you know, we as authors are expressive. Do you feel like you write your best work when you're going through some trials, or do you write better work when everything is hunky-dory? Which one would stimulate you to write better?
Definitely when you're stressed out. I mean, my manager, it was so funny. Like, when he came on and said that he was going to manage me, he had a meeting with myself and my publicist. And he was like, if you're in a relationship, tell that dude that he got to go. Because, like, Mary J. Blige, she wrote the best stuff when she was heartbroken and stressed out. I need you to do that, too. I was like, dang, I got to get rid of him. I'm sorry.
Right, no, that's not in the contract. No, wait, hold on. It's crazy.
Girl, but, I mean, it's true. When you are upset, when you're tired, when you're frustrated, it's just best to take that energy and pin it out. Because you want your reader to feel that emotion. You want your reader, if it's a suspense thriller, to feel like a movie. Like, you know, the creepy music is going on and they're walking down the hallway and she's scared somebody's going to jump out. You have to have talent for that reader to feel that, you know, through your pen. So the best time to write that is when you're feeling that. The best time to write that anger scene, that look at Wait and Exhale when she burnt that car up. You know what I'm saying? You can't write that.
I saw them close out, yeah.
Yeah, you can't write that happy. You got to be in a zone to write that, you know? So you have to, you know, that's, I appreciate the negative. I you know, like, you know how some people say, God, why me? I don't never say, why me? I pray about it, get to the next level, and then tell them thank you because this is what I do when I'm penning novels with those feelings, so.
And see, people, I know Nicola as this. She's a soft-spoken sweetheart. My daughter adores Nicola. She is just the greatest. And Nicola and I are literary friends, not girlfriends. So I want people to understand. Me and Nicola don't be chatting on the phone day in, day out. That's not our friendship. Our friendship is when we're on the road. We can still share a room. We can eat off each other's plate. We have that literary connection. So I want people to understand I'm not claiming her to be my bestie or nothing like that. The thing is, that's why I'm really, really excited to read Cold Peace. I want to read that because I read Nicola's book before. But my next question to Cold Peace is that, were you nervous before you released it? Because it was something out of the norm for a Nicola Mitchell book. Like, were you like, oh, my God, what are they going to think? What are my readers going to think? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us about that feeling.
I was nervous because I don't know if you've seen the cover for it, but
it's beautiful cover.
And the lady is stabbing him with her nails in her back. Like, I had so many people like, are you okay? What's that about, man? You know, what's going on? And then my promo, the first promo I had for it had the guy with the movie phone voiceover. And he's like, a cold, gritty tale. You know, so it's like, what is this, you know? But it's been attracting other readers, though. So it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, you know? And then I have a new motion picture trailer. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. And I had actual actors and stuff acting it out. And we aired it yesterday at my party, and it just seemed like I had shown that made even more people that were just in the bookstore just wanted to come buy the book because they're like, okay, that's what's in this book, you know? So,
right.
You know, it enhances your readership, and if you have that loyal fan base, they're going to buy whatever you write. So
right.
I praise God for my fan base because I put that book out on ebook. And the first day in 12 hours, it got to number 81 on Kindle in 12 hours. And I was like, wow, okay, thanks. You know, you know what I'm saying? And it's been going up and down, but it just showed me that my fans have my back. Because that first day, that's, you know, they went out and got that book for me. So I appreciate that. But, yeah, it's a really scary feeling. And then you study it, like, You write off of emotions, but you have to do homework to write those type of scenes. I was watching A Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I was watching Obsessed. I was watching Single White Female off of YouTube, and I'm, you know, looking at the lady turn her head. And, you know, you have to be able to depict that in the book. So now you're even nervous, like, did I even do a good job?
Right.
Explain.
Well, you know
crazy.
Soon enough, because I'm telling you, the fans, they will let you know. Once the reviews start falling in, that's when you will know. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that you did not deliver, because it's in you. And I'm just like, I'm in awe, because you're not only a literary friend. You're somebody I admire you for your drive. I admire you for your professionalism all the time, and your creativity, because some authors can't say that. It's so many authors, for some reason, this industry, I don't understand it. Stop hating on each other. Be proud of another, especially African-American, success. Because it's wrong for all of us, and stop hating. It's like, I'd rather you ask me to help you to change your numbers. If you see my numbers is better than yours, what are you doing? I don't have no problem with sharing it with you. If I see that, okay, Nicola is better than this. Nicola, I'm going to shoot you an email. Hey, baby, what's going on? So-and-so, so-and-so.
Right.
You know, it's like we need to embrace each other more so, because it's, when I say true fans, I have readers that read my books less than 12 hours. Once they're done with my book, baby, trust me, these are dedicated readers. They do this for a living. They're going to move on to the next book, and my book may be forgotten in a day or so. So, just congratulate. And I do want to congratulate. But you know, my next question, I'm so anxious. I want to talk about your projects with Tamika Newhouse. You got to talk about your projects. Here's my favorite mistake.
Yeah.
Come on now. You got to give us an insight. You ain't got to give us too much, I understand, but you got to give us where this idea came from, how it started, and take us a little bit inside the books so we can kind of know what we'll be getting into if we get these books.
Okay, well, He's My Favorite Mistake actually was released on ebook yesterday, so you can get it on Amazon, Kindle, and Nook as of yesterday. So that's the disclaimer. Let me put that out there, first of all. And it's basically, Tamika and I are really good friends. She's one of my best friends. And we're on the road together all the time. We're talking together all the time. And it was just a funny conversation. And she was like, yeah, she said he's her favorite mistake. And whenever if I say something, she's like, oh, that's a title. Or if she says something, I'm like, oop, that's a title. So we're both like, that's a title right there. And it was a joke, actually. We were like, okay, yeah, we're going to write a book on that, blah, 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 blah. And so we were like, okay, what are we going to talk about? So we combined her Ultimate No-No series, and I combined the appetizer book, my characters from that, and we created this story. So my main character, JL, he's like a Jay-Z, mogul, rap mogul, and he comes to Texas. And for my readers who have read the appetizer and know how that book has ended, JL has a secret. So he went on a hiatus, and he came back to work with Denim. That's one of Tamika's characters, and to make his way back.
Which happens to be in the music industry, you guys.
Yeah,
Denim is a DJ.
Yeah, he's a DJ,
a well-known DJ. Yeah.
Yeah, he's crossed over by now because, you know, this is time after, years later. He's now a producer. So Denim and JL are working together. So we combined both of our characters and made this whirlwind story. And everybody can relate today. Everybody has a favorite mistake, man or woman. It's that person you love to hate. It's that person that you can't stand him. But when he calls,
you wish you hadn't done it, but you're glad you did.
Right. And you're like, hello? When he calls you. He's that one. You're like, you know, you don't want to talk to him, but you don't get on the phone, or you're going to answer him on that text message and whatever. So we took those characters and created this great book. So it's a 6-book series. It's called the I Love Me Some Him series. And we're already on book 2. That's called Arm Charm. So he's my favorite mistake, Arm Charm. And that's, you know, for the guys out there, I heard from a couple of different gentlemen that said they date some women, even though they're dumb and don't make sense, but they look good on the arm to take them in.
Yeah.
So that's the next book, The Arm Charm. So, I mean, I'm really excited. First of all, I work so hard with Tamika day in, day out. I feel like I'm part of Delphine. I know the same way she feels that she's part of NCF. So, I mean, she's my biggest supporter, and I'm her biggest supporter. So it just feels just right to have this series going on. And then the love that we've gotten from so many people, just I think there's a title by itself. But the love and support, like, oh, my gosh, when's the book coming out? Oh, you know.
Right. But those are some hot covers. Those are some hot covers. Hot. Those are some beautiful, beautiful covers. So it attracts your eye. There's no way I can be in a store or in some place and I see that coming out and I not want to pick it up. It's no way. It's like, I want to see what the heck this is, you know, because those covers are hot.
Now, it was fun picking out the cover.
Now, I never wrote a collaboration before, and some aspiring authors that's listening, they might want to know the inside. How do you piggyback when you're going through the process of writing a collaboration, when you're writing with someone? How does that process go? Because I know it's, when you have two authors, you have a different set of ideas. I know you know Deani and your characters, and Tamika knows Denim and her characters. How do you guys sit down and say, I guess, get that medium? Because it's like, okay, I'm getting her chapter back. I'm reading her chapter, and then I'm trying to figure out how to write my next chapter. How does that flow? You know, and I know if we're going to just get beside the friendship, because you and Tamika are friends, y'all talk often. Just say if it's just professional, because some of us artists might be in a professional relationship where we're writing a collaboration. How did that work out for you guys? How difficult was that?
We both have read each other's work. So I knew the series, and she knew the series. When we wrote the treatment out of how the story was going to go, I focused on my character, she focused on her characters, and then we wrote out an outline on what we wanted to do. What I started the book out, so the first couple of chapters, I started it out. And then Tamika read the chapters, and then she just added from that. And it just became like a competition. Like, okay, oh, you did that? Oh, well, I make this next chapter better, you know? And so I think it was actually easier because it wasn't like, oh, what are we going to write next?
It just flowed.
Yeah, it just flowed out. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, I'm excited for you guys. I love Tamika to death. Tamika is not only my publisher, she has become one of my girlfriends. And Tamika and I, we talk often, we deal with each other often, and I'm looking forward in the future, too, to write some things with Tamika because we both have some ideas that we shot back and forth at each other. So it's like, that's a person I can say I'm glad I met. It was a godsend, and it's not only just for me for receiving her, vice versa, because we both complement each other, so... It's a good fit, and I'm glad too for you, Nicola, to be linked with Tamika, because that is the most ambitious young woman I can say. Because
right.
You know, I'll be 40. You know, you're a little older than Tamika, so am I. But I'll be 40 this year, and I'm like, I have never met anybody with this much drive. That girl is on it. So I'm glad that I had the opportunity to be, I guess, linked or connected with Delphine and with Tamika, and I'm glad it worked out the way it worked. But
yeah.
I want to move on to before our hour ends, I just want to touch base and talk about some of your artists. You have a couple artists under your belt, so I really want you to give them some recognition too, and some airtime to let us know if you want to have you want to start or who you want to start with. Just give us your authors' names, their works, and give us a little. Give us some insight on their novels and their titles, because we have gotten to know Nicola and what Nicola's doing, all her works. But you do have some artists out there too that has book that have books to sell. So what are your authors and what do they have and what are their books about?
I have 11 authors now under my company.
Oh my goodness. Wait. Back up. I only knew of 6. So I don't know about 11. I knew of 6,
yeah,
and I'm not going to name no names because I'm going to mess them up. But I knew of 6. So, all right. The floor is yours, baby. We got a total of 15
okay.
minutes and 48 seconds. Hit it.
All right. Okay. So, starting off with Rekaya Gibson. She also writes under K. Gibby. Her first book under NCM was Mama Don't Like Ugly. It's about a mother-daughter who have an abusive relationship. The mother is light-skinned and has a complex with, you know, situations from her past. And now her dark-skinned daughter came out and she actually, like, started mentally and physically abusing her. And it just shows how Dana came and strived from that position. And as Kay Gibby, Rekaya wrote, My Mama's Sweet Potato Pie. We did that as a English and Spanish coloring book. And her new release is coming out in July 13th on National French Fries Day. Is Are There French Fries in Heaven? So I'm really excited about that. Then the next author is Imani True and Dream of Sky. Those two, they wrote Strawberry Stilettos and Steam. That book won Erotica of the Year for 2011. At the African American Literary Awards show. And now Imani just released her second book, A Little Something Something, in February, and it's doing pretty good, so I'm excited about that. Next is Cynthia Evans. Her book is entitled Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider, and that's like a Christian memoir, and it's basically about herself and the trials and tribulations. You know, everybody has been a backslider. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has had those rough times in their life, and how she used God and the Bible to get her to where she's at right now. And, you know, nobody's perfect, but she has grown a lot. So that book came out in February as well. After that, it is Denisha Ford. Denisha, her book came out last year. It's called The Twins. She's from North Carolina. Her book is kind of a memoir, but it's based off of a true story, but it's a fictional young adult book, and it's about two twins that one was murdered at a young age and their trials and tribulations of being raped, molested, drugs, sex. So really good book, really going through youth programs and everything right now, so I'm excited about that. Tamika Melvin Williams is the next author. Her book is called Miles Apart. We released that book under NCM, and it's doing really good, especially UK sales. That's about a couple that has had problems, and she stepped away from it, and seeing if leaving it alone helped the situation or if it just made it worse. The next book, Soraya Christine, her book is Winning Strong, Strong Enough. And that book is coming out.
Don't rush. Take your time. We got some minutes. Just take your time.
All right.
And
I know.
Yeah,
because
you know how people get. And I can tell y'all now, if Nicola don't mention your name, it's not on purpose. So don't trip. So take your time, Nicola. We got time, sweetie.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. So, yes, Soraya Christine, When Is Strong, Strong Enough. That book is coming out in June. And it's a self-help Christian memoir as well. And it tells about what she went through dealing with rape, molestation, and how God has brought her to where she's at right now. So we're excited about that release. Then I have Patricia Brywell and Fatima Albasir Johnson. They co-wrote A Generation of Curses. That book is coming out in June. That's a Christian fiction based on a true story. It's about a woman that is happy, married to a pastor now, and the police just come one day, knock on her door, and arrest her in connection to the murder of an ex-boyfriend from years ago. So it just shows, like, how, you know, through everything in life, sometimes those generational curses that we have in our family affects us, you know, in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that book as well. Then I have a poet. Her name is Anne Howard. That book is coming out in May, and her book is called Whispers of Words Spoken. And that it just sounds for, I mean, speaks for itself. You think I'm soft-spoken, so is she. And she, you know, she's so talented. She kind of, her flow kind of reminds me of Jill Scott's poetry book. So if you guys like Jill Scott's poetry book, you'll love Anne Howard's. And then I have Shauna Carter. She lives in in the UK. And she,
you got international people.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm lying. Not the UK. She lives in Canada. I apologize. Not in the UK.
Okay.
But
that's fine. But she's still not in the US.
Yes, ma'am. I got an international one. And her book is entitled Little Winter Shenanigans, the first one that's coming out in August. And then the next book, Little Creepers, cookbook going to come out Christmas time. So I'm excited about all the titles. I got everybody.
So, and, you know, well, all of that said, because you do have some and most of these artists have been on my show already, you guys, so you have to look through my archives and definitely listen to this show again at the archives to get those names again. You can go through the AMBC archives to get to know those authors as well and hear from them. But as a publisher, what are your guidelines? What do you look for? Like, when you get a submission, what do you say, hey, this is going to make it? Because I'm trying to get that message out to those who are aspiring. What do you look for as a publisher to say this is great material so they can know how to get their stuff together or submission ready?
Well, you know, we are very fair. I don't actually look at the submissions anymore. I have a very thorough submissions team. And really, basically, we all know that a story isn't great until after it's edited and everything else without a chance. So we understand that, but the biggest pet peeve from my submissions team is we have an outline detailed submissions requirement policy that's on the website, and when you just send, don't even take the time, send the whole book or send a couple of chapters, half write a query letter, and the story could be marvelous, but just because you couldn't follow those basic instructions, we're not accepting
that. Turns them, exactly. That's another key thing. Pay attention, you guys. If you don't understand, ask somebody else, because you don't want to shoot. You can. That's the thing about up and coming artists today. I tell people all the time, you can shoot yourself in the foot with small things. And I know everybody's out there. It's so many artists now. Oh my God, I think over my 5,000 friends on Facebook, I think like 1,500 of them are authors. I can tell you, you shoot yourself in the foot when you just try to go on your own, ask questions, ask somebody else, get some reinsurance, because what you think may not be the right way. So ask a few people. Ask around. And I understand, that's like me being a book reviewer. And Nicola, oh my God, the thing is, I can get around some editing issues, but I can't get around somebody that haven't been edited at all. If every page I turn, if I can't get to the first chapter of your book, I'm done.
Right.
And it's not because I'm being mean. It's because you have to put more effort in your product. You kill yourself or your product if you're not trying to make it better. Your friends, you, I don't give a damn how many times you read your book. You can read your book 100 times. You're not going to catch the mistakes that an editor will catch. Simple.
And you're not, I mean, and you can have 4 or 5 editors on a book, and you're still going to be mistakes. So that's that's okay. But, yeah, you're right. Even, like, with new authors, even my clients, even with some of my authors under my roster, like, sometimes it's like pulling teeth in the beginning. I don't think I'm an expert at all, but I do know that, because I'm learning every day still, but I do know that I am good at what I do. Cover design. I've won 3 awards now for Book Cover of the Year. I've won
Twisted cover was sick.
Twisted
cover was sick. That was one of the best covers that I can say personally that I love. It was sick.
Oh,
go ahead, madam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But, you know, exactly. I take that. So listen, you know, when I give you my suggestions, like, no, because a lot of people have a friend that's a graphic designer. I have a lot in put this thing together, and I'm like, that's not going to sell any books. You wonder why you're not moving product. You wonder, you know, and I just prefer a person that listens. So, I mean, there's so much to know and grow with, but I am the easiest person to work with, I think. I listen.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, too, if you don't want to listen to me, I think I'll do what I need to do and then move on to the next project, you know. So,
yeah.
It's so much, but a lot of authors, that's my biggest thing, not even just me, anybody in this game that take the time to answer your questions, to tell you, you know what, that book cover isn't hot. You know,
it's
that
not,
book cover
right.
work. You know, I still get, you know, I'm on book 5, 6. Sometimes it's like, oh, I think you should enhance this. I take heed to all criticism because that's one thing it's going to do is take me to the next level. So I appreciate that. And I learn from my authors, my new authors. I learn, you know, because you can't do everything the same. I take information and we just run with it. So I prefer to have quality over quantity. And so far, all the titles we've had out under NCM has either been best-selling and or award-winning. So my goal for 2012 is that every one of those titles I told you they're coming out now or is currently out, they all need to have the same status under their belt, best-selling and or award-winning.
Right. I'm telling you, for the listeners out there, and this is more so for the authors and the readers, because the readers do not get the concept or the readers do not know what we go through. The readers have no idea the process. Readers, all you know, you get a finished product and you leave your review, you criticize or whatever. And even for the readers to understand, it's some advanced publications company. It's a lot of advanced self-publications company, a lot of advanced indigo companies. Trust me, it is a vigorous process. When it comes to editing, when it comes to your cover, when it comes to going back and forth. And trust me, even I have read books from major houses like Random House, Simon Schuster, or even Penguin Group, and I still find mistakes. There's not one clean book. Even if you only come up with 3 mistakes, you're still going to come up sometimes with a mistake. And it's some things that editors miss, some things that proofreaders miss, because with our team, thank God, under Delphi, we have an editor and we have a couple of proofers. Our books go out to 5 different proofers. We get 5 different proofers information back before we actually send that final thing, and it's still something that they can miss. Because when people read, they read with a flow. Normally, you know what word comes next. So if you know this word comes after that, you don't see if it's misspelled or if it's off. So cut people some slack. When I get all these reviews where the grammar and the editing was so bad, you know what? It's a difference between bad and it's a difference between, okay, we missed a couple spots. So be aware of that. And as a publisher, like what Nicola said, she's not hard. If your story is good, your story is good. All you have to do is sell me, win me over. And and that's just it. But I am like too proud of you, madam. You are doing it. You are in a place where a lot of maybe indigo companies want to be, because you are a publisher as well as an author. you are in a place where a lot of artists would like to be. And this, you're doing great for yourself. And I'm proud of you, and I'm so glad that you spent this time with us to talk about what you're doing and what you're doing with your authors and things like that. And I'm telling you, Nicola is like one of the most soft-spoken people I've ever met in my life. I'm from Chicago. People don't talk as light as her.
I know, but I'm like so serious. I can get serious, too, and I think that throws people off because I'm like always smiling and so sweet.
But when you're serious, Nicola, your voice is so... You don't... My husband would love you. Because you don't yell. My husband, like, could you just turn it off? If you were married to Chris and you had the soft-spoken voice that you have now, Chris would love that. I haven't acquired that. I'm working on it. You are just but do not take her kindness for weakness, because even though she's soft-spoken, she's a businesswoman, she's on her thing, and don't push over her, people. Understand, she can get grimy too. She's Jamaican. They crazy.
Okay.
So what's coming up?
Anna see me in action. She was like, are you okay? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm married to a crazy Jamaican, so I know they can get crazy. They will machete you. Trust me. Machetes are their best friend.
Okay.
So what's coming up for you, Nicola? Where will you be? What's coming up? Give us your events is coming up and your contact information before we come to an end. We have like 4 minutes left, so where can we come out and see you, meet and greet you, and where can we contact you online?
Okay, well, I will be seeing you next week. I'm one of the co-founders for the Baltimore Open Book Festival, so I will be in the house in Baltimore in the D.C. area next week from the 5th to the 9th, and then I have some local events in Vegas. We'll be having our official book release event in New York at a mansion June 7th on 120th Street. So please come out if you're in that New York area and come celebrate with Tamika and I as we release our baby. He's my favorite mistake. I'll be L.A., Philly, back to Chicago June 23rd. Just everywhere. And actually, this tour season is actually, like, easier, lighter than I've ever done, but I still feel like I'm getting on the plane every 2 weeks, so.
It's easier because the fan base. You know, back in the day, remember the first year you published? We had to do so much lip service. Now it's like, oh, no, I know you. I just want the book.
Right. And now, you know, when people recognize you, I was in home Office Depot the other day, and the lady was like, you're Nicola Mitch, mommy, your Facebook friend, and hugging me. I'm like, oh, you know, that's the greatest feeling in the world. It's the greatest feeling. But I could be contacted at Nicola, NicolaCMitchell.com. That's my website. Also, N as in Nancy, C as in Cat, M as in Mary, Publishing. .com. That's the site for our company. Then Nicola and Tamika, we have a site as well, so you can find out what we're doing next in the game and contest. We just had a win a date with Nicola and Tamika, so we're going to give the young lady her prize in D.C. next week as well. And then my Facebook and Twitter is /MissNicola. So I'm pretty easy to find, and if you want to see where I'm going to be in your area, just check out my two sites, and our calendar is always there.
Right. Well, we thank you so much, Nicola. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see you again. You guys, make sure you definitely check out the website, because Nicola not only has her titles to offer, she has her a bunch of authors now under her. So, and trust me, if Nicola... It's behind it is my garbage. So check it out. We will see you back again on May 1st. We're going to have a panel discussion, and I hope Nicola do join us. But Nicola, we thank you so much. Yeah, come on and give your insight.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you, Anna, so much for having me here. I appreciate you, boo.
I appreciate you too, boy. I had a lovely time. You have a wonderful night, and kiss the girls for me. Some I haven't met them yet, but I will meet them soon when I finally get to Vegas.
Oh yes, girl. You can. My baby graduates next. You may meet her next month. We'll talk about it. Next week. We'll talk about it. We'll see.
All righty. You have a great night.
You too.
All righty, you guys. We just was with Miss Nicola Mitchell. Nicola came on to talk about not only her success, but the success that she had with her artists under her publishing house. Please make sure you Google her, Nicola Mitchell. She's everywhere, Facebook. She's on Twitter, anywhere. Just trust me, you can find her. And we'll see you guys back here on May 1st. We will be having a panel discussion with Miss Tamika Newhouse, so make sure you guys tune in. Good night.